is something special for you.
It's time for Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
This is something special for you.
Here's your host, Ben Criddle.
Welcome into Cougar Sports here on ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. We are live from the Wasatch Medical Clinic studios. If you are suffering from ED, choose Pulse Wave Technology to help cure your erectile dysfunction. Call them 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Hi, I'm Bryce Larson, the executive producer of Cougar Sports, getting everything started for you. Ben Criddle and Brandon Gurney are getting ready to host the rest of today's show. But for now, we are going to get you out to some clips from spring ball today and from Wednesday. We're going to start it off with Keaton Slovis, QB1, or maybe QB1. We'll see if Kalani Sitake and Aaron Roderick name a QB1 after spring camp or not, but we will see. But we're going to get you out to Keaton Slovis and Aaron Roderick sound from Wednesday and today. So without further ado, here is Keaton Slovis.
So are you a basketball guy?
I am.
You got your bracket? How's your bracket looking?
Oh, it's not doing too great early, but we still got all like the big teams. That's where the points matter, you know. So I usually like picking the upsets, and like the past years have been really good, but this year I'm kind of like screw the upsets. I'll just go for the big eight, I guess, the lead eight. So we'll see. I'll let you know in the next few weeks.
Did you pick Xavier? Do you remember? Because they were in a tough game, but I think they pulled it out.
Who'd they play? Anyway,
Kennesaw State. Yeah.
I think I picked Xavier, yeah. Okay. I think I picked Kennesaw State.
I think that was good.
So. Yeah, I made that one, luckily. I think I got UConn winning it all, but yeah, we'll see.
The important questions here in spring camp.
About
basketball.
It's March, so, yeah.
So how are things going out there?
Good. Today I thought it was a good day. Obviously, more short yardage, goal line situations, so not a ton of throws, but that's just really important. I thought when it mattered, and those were big situations, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1. I thought the offense converted really well, especially the ones, so proud of the guys.
Was there heavy emphasis on the run today?
Yeah, I mean, when you have short yardage goal line, usually you're going to run it. But we had, you know, some good, like a PAT situation or like a two-point conversion situation. We had some – and still some throws off it, too. You're never just going to be all run. But obviously, if it's 4th-and-1, you know, that's probably a good way of getting it. And we also had a 4-minute at the end. That's probably what you guys saw. So that's obviously you want to keep the clock running. So, yeah, definitely more an emphasis on that, but just situations.
Is this your first day outside?
Yeah, it is.
How good is it to actually, you know, be outside and practicing rather than being in the indoor?
It was nice. We were a little worried about the weather because all the guys were looking at it like, oh, it's 29 degrees when we start. But it's nice to get outside. It's sunny. It's really not that bad once you get going. So, I thought it was nice to get out here and shoot right now. It's pretty perfect.
What were the objectives for the offense coming into spring, and how close do you feel like this offense is to achieving those?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it's just getting guys reps and learning. I think you kind of see improvement with everyone and getting certain guys to certain places and keeping guys healthy too. I think that's something that's an emphasis on. But again, I think just getting better within the offense and running effectively. I think when you get in those situations, the ones you want to do well in, you learn from it, but also you want to execute. And I think we executed pretty well today.
Have Kalani and A-Rod named you the starter?
That's probably a question for them.
Well, do they lay out where you stand as far as?
Like, yeah, I have a good idea where I stand. Yeah.
Is that where? How would you classify like as far as like if you firmly etch yourself as the number one guy? Or
I always see myself that way, but I don't want to say anything before they want to say anything. So I'd ask them, I guess. Sorry.
What do you kind of make of the run game with how much work the running backs were getting today, and kind of those guys in the backfield with you?
Well, I think,
what do you sort of make of the run game?
I think those guys have done a good job. I think also the D-line's done a great job of giving us different looks and showing twists up front. I think the O-line's getting a lot of good work in. And I think it's going to prepare us really well for next year. And same with the running backs. You know, I think there's a lot of times where they do great and see the right hole. But some of the movement stuff, you know, the reads are a little bit different. So definitely a bit of a learning, but I think they've done a great job so far. I think, you know, Miles had a huge carry at the end, too. So I've been really impressed with those guys.
I'm glad you mentioned the defensive linemen, because a couple of them that we've talked to have talked about the aggression of this defense. Have you guys noticed that on offense, how aggressive the defense has been?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few. I think one of the periods the other day, the defense got after us, and, you know, it challenges us, makes us better. And A-Rod always says as better defense is, the better, because it makes us better, and we're going to be a better team because of it.
We talked to Chase on Wednesday and wanted to ask about timing because I talked to him a little bit about that. That's so important between you and the receivers, having that timing be as crisp as possible. Where do you feel like that's at, and what needs to happen to make that improve?
Yeah, just reps. I think it's been really good so far. There's still like a few routes, you know, the double moves and stuff like that. Everyone's a little different, so you need a lot of reps with those guys. And I'm not saying that's where it is. Needs to be by right now. It's not where it needs to be by, you know, first game, but it's close and it's there, and we'll get better and better as the season comes. Not really worried about it because, shoot, whenever those guys want to throw or whenever I want to throw, those guys are always out there getting reps in. So we'll get ironed out. But I feel like most of the stuff, Fessy has those guys so dialed in that makes my job as a quarterback easy. I know where their spot's going to be. I kind of just throw to a spot and they're usually there.
So 2 weeks in, how's your comfort level as compared to day one?
Very comfortable. I think you like know the offense. You can draw up on the board. But once you get out there, signals, bullets flying, it's a little bit different. But I feel like now you kind of know the offense like the back of your hand, and it just gets easier and easier. I think by day six, I hope most guys kind of feel like, you know, it's been pretty easy to pick up.
You've dealt with injuries in your career. I mean, how healthy are you right now? And what were some of the stuff you maybe dealt with, you know, last year that you were playing through?
Yeah, I feel great right now. I think last year I didn't deal with a whole lot. I think, you know, really just getting your body feeling good too. I think you might not have an injury, but throughout the year, there's always something. You know, whether it's something in your back that's bothering you that, you know, causes you to compensate with a throw or whatnot. But no, I feel great. I feel like the guys here, especially Doc Main and Colby and the strength staff, they all do a great job of kind of getting us right. So I feel like it's sweet. You can kind of come and be like, hey, this isn't right. Doc will just get you right. So, I feel great.
What did, you know, Chase mentioned earlier in the week that you know, kind of established yourself as a leader on the offense. Like, how critical was that for you when you arrived on campus to establish yourself as one of the leaders of the program?
Yeah, it's important. I think as a quarterback, it's always important. You kind of run the offense, and if you're not a big presence, the offense isn't going to do well. So I think that's really important. And you know, I think naturally, kind of, I like to have things in order and things done the right way. So, you know, I like communicating with those guys. And again, that's a big part of it. It kind of comes to the role. And, you know, if that didn't come naturally, you're probably not, you know, naturally a quarterback.
We were talking to Chase about the chess. Whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
The enjoyment chess of phenomenon. Chess in the locker room. Have you gotten into that?
I have, yeah. I play Isaac a lot. I haven't played Chase yet, actually. I'm not very good. I need to learn some openings, but once I get going, I'm fine. But me and Isaac actually went 1-1 yesterday, so probably need to play best of three, see who wins it all. But it's actually really fun. I haven't played in like forever, but yeah, it's great. It's big in the locker room. Everyone. Not that if NIL chess.com wants an NIL deal with the BYU football team, I'm sure we'd be happy to do it. Yeah.
But I asked him about this, but the benefit as far as how it applies to football, because there are elements as far as trying to look two steps ahead and, you know, just how chess applies to football. Do you see that, or do you even think about that?
Probably not service level. The more you think about it, yeah, it definitely applies. I also think, too, just getting with people on the team and doing stuff outside of football is always great outside of practice. So, both aspects I think are great.
All right, that was Keaton Slovis. Obviously, you heard there, yet to be named QB1, but that is kind of a talking point that we've talked about here on Cougar Sports heading into spring camp. I thought once they announced the transfer of both Keaton Slovis and the signing of Jake Retzlaff from Community College, I thought Jake Retzlaff would have a lot more of an opportunity to be able to position himself and give Keaton Slovis a run for that QB1 spot. But it seems like, you know, with Retzlaff going through that tonsillectomy, getting his tonsils out, he's kind of been behind. He hasn't been able to play, get a lot of reps during spring ball, which has allowed Cade Fennigan to step up from what it sounds like there down in Provo. So we haven't seen a lot of Jake Retzlaff yet. And you heard Keaton Slovis asked there, have the coaching staff told you what your position is? Have they told you what is going on? And he said, you know, of course they've told me what, you know, but it's not my place to say. So he also said that he always imagines himself as QB1, but he doesn't want to, you know, come off as a guy that is too confident or even cocky almost. So some interesting points there from Keaton Slovis, and also the questions about chess. He likes to play chess with his teammates and how that relates to football a little bit as well, just as far as strategy goes. So pretty smart guy, Keaton Slovis, the transfer from Pittsburgh, played at USC as well, and then transferred over to Pittsburgh now, BYU. And what's looking like he's going to be QB1 as BYU heads into the summer and into the fall months as well. Just a reminder, this is Bryce Larson, executive producer of Cougar Sports, getting you started off for today's show. Brandon Gurney and Ben Criddle are getting ready to host the rest of today's show, so stick around with us. We're just getting you underway here from our Wasatch Medical Clinic studios. Just a reminer, if you are suffering from ED, choose Pulse Wave Technology, and they can help cure your erectile dysfunction. Give them a call, 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. But we are live on 960 AM. You can also catch us on the stream, www.ESPN960sports.com, the TuneIn app, the ESPN960 app. You can also catch us on that ESPN960 app or your smart speaker. Just say, hey, smart speaker, hey, smartphone. Listen to Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle or listen to the ESPN960 app. You can download our podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. You can always give us a rating, give us a review there, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow myself at Larson Sports on Twitter. You can follow Ben at Criddle Benjamin and at ESPN960 Sports on Twitter as well for all the latest breaking news on Cougar Sports and to keep up with everything BYU athletics. We've got a solid show for you today. Right now, I'm just running through some of the sound from spring camp this week. You just heard Keaton Slovis from earlier today at the media availability for spring football. And then up next, we're going to get you some Aaron Roderick sound as well. This is from Wednesday's media availability of spring ball. So coming up next, a little bit of Aaron Roderick to talk about the quarterback's passing game. Also, probably some run game questions as well. And we will get you out to that here in just a second. But just want to give you a heads up on the starting lineup. Kevin Reynolds is going to join the program today at 4:05. Then we'll have Gabe Summers, Gumpy, in studio at 5:05 with Ben and Brandon a little bit later on in the program. But let's get you out to Aaron Roderick from Wednesday's media availability right here on ESPN 960.
We'll start things off. How do you think the offense is coming along with Keaton Slovis?
Keaton's playing really well. He and we're only five practices into it, so there's still a lot of room for growth, but he's a veteran player, and he shows it out here every day. Each day there are a few things that happen for the first time in our offense that are like new to him just with our system, so there's some growth there each day. But just as far as like his ability to run the team and make the plays that you need to make at this level, he shows us every day. He's good quarterback.
How's the play been behind him, guys like Cade and Nick and Ryan Burton?
Cade Fennigan is having a really good spring. Yeah, he's a lot of growth there. He's very impressed with him. It's not that anybody else isn't doing well. All those guys are getting better every day, but Cade has really played well. And unfortunately, Retzloff is still he's struggling. It was just a tonsil deal, and then things got infected, and he's had some struggles. So he's only been able to play a little bit up to this point. It's not anything too serious, but just haven't had enough reps with him yet to really make a statement one way or the other, but I really believe in that guy, yeah.
Where have you seen the biggest jump from Cade just in his game when you were down? Early impression?
You can just tell he's 3 years in the offense now. You know, he's just running the show out there like a veteran player. He no hesitation to get people lined up where they need to be, to making really good decisions, just not a lot of thinking. You know, he's just playing, and that takes time, and it's starting to show.
In terms of like the receivers, has Dom Henry or any young guys made an impression on you early on in this camp?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Dom. He has. Dom Dom has a chance to be a good player here. We really liked him in high school, and I was really surprised that we got him as a walk-on. I mean, that he's a scholarship player for a lot of programs, and he's played very well up to this point. He's getting better every day. Very good route runner. Good range for, you know, he plays bigger than he is, I would say, as far as like as a target. You know, has really good range, and just love how he competes.
I know we're only a few practices in, but how have Chase and Keanu elevated their games from last year?
Sort of the same thing I said about Finnegan. You can just tell, you know, Chase now and Keanu have played a lot of football for us. You can tell they know it's their time. You know, you've seen other guys step up the last 2 years at receiver for us, and I think those guys each day they show that they're veteran players. Just the game's really slowed down for them. There's no sense of panic at all. No matter what the defense does, they're reacting the right way, where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. Just the timing and the spacing on the field is always better when those guys are on the field for us. Yeah.
At offensive line, do you anticipate having kind of a set group going out of spring and into the summer? Or do you think it'll take a little bit more time? What's the timeline you think?
My guess is that it will go into fall camp. There's just too many good players there. I don't think that you're going to be able to resolve your starting five in 15 practices. It might happen, but you know, five practices in, that's some really good competition, and you know, a couple good players that aren't practicing right now due to injury. So my guess is it'll go into fall camp.
Do you have any preference for that you would want to get it done sooner?
No, and there's no rush. Because, first of all, I think the competition just keeps everyone improving. You know, if you just said tomorrow, here's the starting five, you know, there's a motivation factor there. You know, you want everyone to keep working. You know, you're not playing mind games or anything, but you want guys to be motivated to keep working. And then the other reason is you want to keep working different combinations because you never know, you know, if this injury happens, what's our contingency plan? You know, if we lose this guy, then we shift this guy over here. And so every day we're experimenting with different combinations of guys. We have several guys playing guard and tackle, some guys that just go from tackle to tackle. But there's a bunch of variables there that it's good to keep working all those.
I noticed Aiden Robbins had a helmet on today. Is he participating at all?
He's doing everything except full contact. And it's just simply because he had a hand surgery, and we just want to protect that hand. But he's out here in the right gear doing everything. He knows the offense. He's can't wait to be cleared to play, and I can't wait to watch him.
How much value do you think it has for a guy like in this situation to be able to do something rather than?
Yeah, it's important. It's important because he is getting reps. You just don't see a lot of it. By the time you guys get to see the end of practice, that's when he's not doing stuff. But everything pretty much before you got here, he was practicing. So he's coming along.
Do you think that helps Miles and Hinkley kind of establish themselves a little bit more in this camp?
Yeah, Miles, Hinkley, and Soljay are getting a lot of reps, and it's been really fun to watch those guys grow. I think all three of those, well, Miles and Hinkley are much improved from a year ago, and then Soljay is what he showed in the bowl game. You know, he's a Swiss Army knife. Yeah.
What was that conversation like in the offseason with Soljay? He was quarterback here for quite a long time. When you feel like maybe that move to running back was the right move for him, and how did that conversation go?
He handled it like a pro. You know, I mean, of course he came here to play quarterback. I think he would love to be the starting quarterback, and I told him I'd love to be the starting shortstop for the White Sox, you know, but I'm not. So move on. Like, next, this is what you can do for our team. Do you want to do it? And he said, okay, I'll do it. And then he embraced it. And he's out here every day getting extra reps at a variety of positions. You're going to see him, if he keeps progressing, you're going to see him do some fun things. Yep.
All right, that was Aaron Roderick, your BYU offensive coordinator. A couple of things that stood out to me there. I already talked a little bit about this. Cade Finnegan having a really good spring. That's with Retzlaff still struggling. Aaron Roderick said that he had his tonsils out, and then it kind of got infected as well. So just not enough reps for Jake Retzloff to really make a difference this spring. That's probably, you know, I would think with the end of spring ball coming up here in a week or so, that's you won't see a lot of Jake Retzloff out there. We're going to have to wait till the fall to see him. But Cade Fennigan stepping up as QB2 as of right now. Obviously, Aaron Roderick said that they're not naming any starters yet until the fall. But you got to think it's probably Keaton Slovis at that number one QB spot. And then Cade Fennigan is going to have to duke it out with Jake Retzloff for the QB2 spot. You heard him talking a little bit about Cade Fennigan running the offense like a vet. It's something that, you know, he breaks the huddle and he's telling guys where to be, and guys are going to spots. He's running it like the sheriff out there, as you might say. He is the guy. So a lot of confidence coming from Cade Fennigan so far in spring football. You got to like that. You got to have as many dudes as you can be able to run this offense. We saw that kind of hurt BYU last season with Jaren Hall not really being 100% in some of those games with a shoulder injury. There's a couple times, you know, two seasons ago, he had that ankle injury. You just never know what's going to happen with your QBs. And you got to have a guy that can step up, have confidence, and be out on the field for you. If your guy's not 100% ready to roll, then you got to have a guy that can step up. And it seems like Cade Fennigan is trying to put himself into that situation and put himself into that number two, that QB number two position. And we'll see what Jake Retzloff can do as he gets better and recovers from his getting his tonsils out as well. One other thing I want to talk about a little bit was Dom Henry. We talked about him a little while ago. Aaron Roderick said he's played really well for a walk-on. That guy would be a scholarship player for most programs. Now, I said Talmadge Gunther just a couple days ago would be the guy, the walk-on that's going to make the biggest impact at wide receiver for BYU. But it sounds like Dom Henry is doing some really, really good things in spring football. And this is kind of what we've heard a lot. He might be becoming the next Cody Epps, the next guy that's going to be able to play really well for the Cougars at the wide receiver position. Another guy that can step up. There's been a lot of injuries for BYU at the wide receiver position as well. So having Dom Henry and some solid depth there, especially as you head into Power 5 play in the Big 12, is something huge. Couple of other things as well. I liked how Aaron Roderick said that the depth chart hasn't been set yet, and they're going to have to do that in fall camp because that keeps guys competing. You got to give them, there's a motivating factor, he said, to allow guys to continue to compete for starting positions. That just brings more energy to practice every single day. But I do want to steer you to something that Kalani Sitake said today in spring camp as well. This is a question that Kalani was asked about the starting quarterback. And this is so this was the question. He was asked, do you want to name a starting quarterback by the end of spring football? This is what Kalani Sitake had to say.
Yeah, I think we kind of have an idea. Maybe I'd be able to answer the question a little bit more next week, you know. And when I say I don't answer, I'm going to have A-Rod answer that. That's easier for him to do it. But we feel good about the talent there. It's just, again, it's who's going to step up and be the guys and the, you know, that's going to get the 2 and 3 reps. That's going to be the key.
So there you go. That pretty much tells you all you need to know from Kalani Sitake. He said, we have a pretty good idea of who it's going to be. And if I had to tell you who that was going to be, it would be Keaton Slovis up to this point. I just think Jake Retzloff's the only guy that could really push Keaton Slovis. Obviously, Aaron Roderick said, haven't seen enough of him because of what he's dealing with off the field and his recovery from his infection as well. And so Keaton Slovis sounds like, from what Kalani said there, we have a good idea of who it's going to be. And now we're kind of just working on who's going to have those 2 and 3 reps behind. He didn't come out and say it right away, right? Because Aaron Roderick, you know, he kind of pushed it off to Aaron Roderick and said, hey, Aaron, we're going to let Aaron name the starting quarterback, right? But from what Aaron Roderick said, he's like, well, we're going to wait till fall just because they want that competition. They don't want to give it to Keaton Slovis because, you know, you got to keep that competition coming in every day. You got to keep him on his toes. And from what Keaton said earlier, kind of sounds like he knows he's the guy, but he's got to keep on working. There's no place for complacency within this program, especially as they head to the Big 12, and they're going to be playing some Power 5 big boy football. So we'll see what happens. You got to like what's coming out of spring ball so far. One other thing about the running back room, one other thing to note, Aaron Roderick said Aiden Robbins is doing everything except full contact there at spring ball. He already knows the offense. That's something that's huge for incoming transfers, just the time that it takes to get to know the offense, especially when you have a new quarterback and a new running back going together. The faster they can learn the offense, they're, you know, the faster they're not sitting there thinking about what their assignment is on each play. Then you have, you know, bobbled snaps, you have missed exchanges, and you have all sorts of mistakes. Guys going the wrong way, handoff going the wrong way. You avoid all of that. So Aiden Robbins doing everything except full contact, knows the offense. He said that Miles Davis and Hinkley Ropati, also Solje Maiava, getting a lot of reps. And that is something that you are going to need. One other thing, you know, going back to those injuries, we talked a little about Jaren Hall earlier, but with Miles Davis, Hinkley Ropati, Solje Maiava, getting a bulk of the reps in spring ball, that's something that you need as well because, man, these running backs are going to get beat up. You never wish for injuries, but you kind of have to expect them, especially in Power 5 football. So you got to have guys, and you got to be deep and have dudes that know what they're doing. So I like Miles Davis in the backfield. I've always been a Miles Davis type of guy. I like the way that he runs. You saw him against Utah State and Wyoming as well. Give Miles Davis the ball downhill. Get him going downhill between the tackles. Don't run wide zone with Miles Davis. That's not his thing. Get him going downhill. Get him Mason Wake in at fullback and power run that football. Get him behind those hogs and just road grade. And you know, that's not really the style of offense that BYU likes to run. They like to run that outside zone, the stretch zone. But when you have Miles Davis in the game, that's his, you know, he's a fast dude. He's a burner. He is quick. So you got to get him the ball downhill, and you got to do it so that he has guys out in front of him. And that's where he plays the best. So once again, he was a junior Olympian. He was a burner in the 200-meter dash as well. Just a really quick dude and runs the ball really well. We saw that last year. So I'm hoping Miles Davis can get a lot of carries behind Aiden Robbins next season. You'll probably see a lot of Hinkley Ropati as well. He ran really well. And Solje, of course. So looking pretty deep at that running back position. One last comment on this with Solje Maiava, though. You heard Aaron Roderick, kind of straight to the point. How did that conversation go with Solje, he was asked. And he straight up said, he was like, you know what, I told him, you know, he came to me, said he wants to play quarterback. And you know what, I told him I want to be a starter for the Chicago White Sox. Aaron Roderick telling Solje Maiava that he wants to be a starter for the Chicago White Sox, and that's not going to happen. So he told him to move on, to that he could help this team at running back, and Solje took that in stride, and now he's playing running back for BYU. So shout out to Solje. That takes a lot of toughness, a lot of grit to be able to swallow that from your offense coordinator and to switch positions. And instead of jumping in the transfer portal, which is what most, I don't know if I'd say most, but a lot of kids these days would do if they were in Solje Maiava-Peters' position, and having to switch positions this late in their career and to a position that they really don't want to play. Maybe he doesn't want to play it, but he from a position that he really does want to play, I should say. So just a couple things to think about there. Couple of interesting word things from Aaron Roderick out of fall camp on Wednesday, and then Keaton Slovis earlier today from fall camp as well. Just a reminder, I'm Bryce Larson, executive producer of Cougar Sports. We are getting you ready for today's show. Ben Criddle and Brandon Gurney will be hosting the rest of today's show. They're just getting set up. They're getting everything ready to roll for you. And we just rolled through some Keaton Slovis and Aaron Roderick sound as well. Just a reminder for today's starting lineup, we're going to have Kevin Reynolds at 4:05, and then Gabe Summers will be in studio with Ben Criddle and Brandon Gurney at 5:05. So we'll see on the other side if Ben is ready to roll and if Brandon Gurney's ready to roll. But we're going to take a quick break on the program. We'll come right back on the other side. You are listening to Cougar Sports right here on ESPN 960.
Just like the Cougar football team, Ben Criddle was built, not born. And since 2009, he's built himself into the go-to source on the radio and online for all things BYU. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960 and ESPN960Sports.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Chubby's Cafe Pleasant Grove location. Yes, we're back at Chubby's in PG. Had a little technical difficulties at our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. So we're over at Pleasant Grove Chubby's. That's right. Stop in, say hello, get yourself some grub, the best sustenance, the delicious nutrients of Chubby's, Chubby's Cafe, chubbyscafeut.com. Little Dropkick Murphy's bringing us back from the break. Always brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU swagger to buy fans for fans. Stay loyal to the Royal. Rep the Y the right way. Purchase all your BYU licensed apparel at RoyalArmyBrand.com. My co-host for the day, Brandon C. Gurney. G-Man, how glorious is it to be at Chubby's once again?
Oh, my gosh. It's been too long. I love this place. I love everything about it. I love everything on the menu. It's a Pleasant Grove institution. I go here way too much, but not often enough, if that makes sense.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you being here. Gavin Lee on the social media. We got Bryce Larson behind the glass filling in quite nicely. Bryce, you filled 30 minutes of radio all by yourself. How difficult was it?
It wasn't too difficult, right? I had Aaron Roderick. I also had Keaton Slovis by my side, so they helped out a little bit. But that last little part, it was good. Worked out well.
Love it, man. We're going to get into our questions and polls of the day. I may play a little bit of that Kalani Sitake sound from earlier today. Kalani Sitake addressing the media. We were down at spring ball. It was glorious. It was beautiful. I mean, it was a sunny day. They were finally outside. They've been participating in spring ball indoors. It just doesn't feel like spring football in the IPF. Is that an accurate
depiction? It's far better outside. They just seem more loose. It seems like real football. It seems like it's official. Mm-hmm. They went live today.
They went live today.
It was a fun practice.
They haven't gone live during the Kalani Sitake era during spring ball. Very rarely do they go live, throughout the week. So I thought that was interesting. Maybe one of the bigger takeaways that they're getting live action earlier in spring ball. In this new, the new era of BYU football, the Big 12 era of BYU football, the Jay Hill defensive era of BYU football?
It's exciting, all of it. Give me all of that. The defensive intensity stepping up, Big 12 play, and they just seem like they started off spring ball on a much advanced, regimen. than we've seen in a year past.
Okay.
Like that first day we went, I didn't think about it until after, but the drills we were seeing in the level drills, I don't know if they've ever started that fast doing a full regimen in spring practice as I've covered before. I think injury concern was the overriding factor with all of that.
Sure.
And understandably so, but I don't think they have the luxury because a lot of the time you're going into the same system, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Guys know it and whatnot, but there's a lot more teaching that needs to go on. So I think that's been the impetus of that. And also, everyone knows that the level of competition is going to be increasing tremendously. So I think with those two factors, you're seeing the team just more advanced and put forth a lot more work and a lot more structured regimen than we've seen in prior springs.
Love that. Brennan C. Gurney breaking it all down. I do want to get to a question of the day, always brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. If you have not participated in Underdog Fantasy's fantastic app, really easy to use platform in which you can pick higher or lower stat totals of your favorite players, favorite teams. Really cool. Easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app, of course, in the industry. March Madness is here, which means you can not only pick up a bracket win or two, but also you can get involved in the college basketball pick'em. It's the fastest, easiest way to get in on the action. Go to the pick'em tab on the Underdog Fantasy website or app. Pick whether your player will have a higher or lower stat total in their upcoming tournament matchups, and see if you can win up to 20 times your money. Get all your picks right, you can win up to 20 times your money, which is pretty impressive on a single game. I've enjoyed it. Look, I've taken, you know, I'll take like $15 and I will look at a guy like, you know, Lauri Markkanen. Like, and I'm going to say, okay, how many points is he going to score versus an opponent? And he's averaging, what, roughly 24 or so, 25 points a game. Are you going to go higher or lower in that particular game? And honestly, I've won a few dollars. I've won a few dollars doing it. Because you can see, okay, you get some reports on health. It's something that you have proximity to. You know what's going on maybe with a program. You know what's going on with a particular player. And you know who they're going to be playing against, who that matchup is. You can make a few bucks. That's how you do it. That's how you do it at Underdog Fantasy. Utilize your core competencies, the storylines, the injury reports, etc., and then go out there, make a few dollars, have a little bit extra sweat in the game at Underdog, Underdog Fantasy Sports. Utilize that ESPN 960 coupon code to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. All right, key takeaways from spring practice today. That's my question of the day for everyone involved here. Gavin was down there. You were down there. I was down there. Bryce was unfortunately not down there, but he did hear all the sound bites that came across. I'll give you some of my initial takeaways. Number one, love that we had some live football to get after. Number two, defense finally won the day. Defense has been getting their booties just spanked like little babies throughout the entirety of spring ball. It's not been good for the defense. The offense has had their day every day. They've had their way every day. They have dominated in every way. I apologize for rhyming, but it's how it's been. And it hasn't looked good. This aggressive defense has been porous, to say the least. Not today. Not today in live segments. The defense looked really good. Jackson Cravens looks like he's a guy. He's a dude. He's got some twitch to him. Nysa has actually had a pretty good spring off season, from what I've heard. Kalani Sitake went into depth about Tyler Batty's role and how much progress he's made. We're always looking at the defensive line as a BYU fan. Right now, over the last few years, under the Kalani Sitake era, we're like, where's that defensive line that Kalani Sitake created at Utah? Where's Sac Lake City? Where's the true pressure? Where's the aggression? Where's the twitch? Where's the violence at? Why don't we have that? And so it's good to hear that. You want to win up front. I've been keen, especially in live drills, more of the physical drills. I went right to the offensive defensive line to see who's winning. And the defense won the day in that regard. Now, there was one run. Miles Davis was scooting. And I don't know if he would have been – I don't know if he got two-hand touched or one-hand touched. I don't know if the whistle should have been blown, if you know what I mean. Miles Davis got some giddy up. He's got some gallop to him. And guys had angles on him. I don't know if you saw the angle from the sideline. Guys had angles on him. We're talking guys that are good athletes, guys that can run. Talon Alfrey, others. And Miles Davis blew past every single one of them and was untouched. Now, he could have maybe got touched earlier in the play. I couldn't tell. There was a lot of muck up there, but it looked like it was also a touchdown to me, at least after he got through the second level. Your thoughts, G-Man?
Yeah, this is a big spring for Miles Davis. Everyone knows about Aiden Robbins, and he hasn't been able to practice yet because he's nursing that thumb injury, but coaches are very high on him. They're intent on playing him. Miles Davis knows this, and he knows that Hinkley Rapati's right there with him, and then he knows another guy, L.J. Martin's coming in in the fall. Yeah, he's got to get on it. This is a big, big spring for Miles Davis. Always had a lot of potential. He's shown really well given the opportunity. Yeah, he's taking advantage of it. He was impressive. I will note, as far as the defensive line getting over, it was a new offensive line mix that we saw as opposed to previous weeks. They tried Waylon Lapuaho and Fitzgerald were in there, and LaSala Tai wasn't in there. So maybe just acclimating to that new offensive line, maybe that needs time to gel. I don't know. But Tyler Batty, to me, is the real interesting thing coming out of this session, because Tyler Batty's a guy everyone's been high on, and for good reason. And I think they had a big plan etched out for him last year that really didn't materialize. And I think injuries had a lot to do with that, the inability to just stop the run. I think a lot of things worked conversely to prevent them using Tyler like they wanted to. But Kalani's also spoken of a better mindset for Tyler. He's starting to understand how he can maximize his production, and Kalani's really excited about him. And that's kind of what got us pumped about Tyler last year was Kalani. But Kalani obviously sees a lot of potential in Tyler Batty, and I think that's starting to be realized, and that should be a really exciting thing. The edge position is going to be interesting. With Banya?
So the starting
Banya?
The starting defensive line right now, what is it? What does it look like? Jackson Cravens, John Nelson, Tyler Batty, Isaiah Banya?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I think.
Yeah, but you could rotate in a healthy
Nysa
and
Nysa into that mix.
And Caden Hawes, obviously. I think you have four guys that you can, and that's what you want. You want at least four guys that you can rotate in and out of that interior. But I'd be very surprised if we didn't see a lot better production from this Cougar defensive front than we have in past years. The guys were guys when healthy, but they were not healthy. They just couldn't do it. They just could not get over that injury curve. We're going to have Gabe Summers on. Gabe Summers was tremendous when healthy. But the story of his career was he could never stay healthy, and that was a really frustrating thing because everyone wants to criticize the scheme and all that. The story of the defense was injury. And everyone hates that because they think it's too easy. Yeah, every team has injury. Why is BYU special? I think BYU's injuries were more pronounced than other teams. And then you can speak to the lack of depth. Yeah, I get that. You need better depth. Everyone knows that. But I think they have better depth this year. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think they're done. We've heard talk about maybe even some more transfers coming in the offseason. We'll see that. We know coaches aren't through with that. Your interview with Coach Funk, he mentioned three guys.
Yeah, three guys.
Three. That seems excessive to me. I got to be honest with you, Colonel. I was like, well, no, they're good, but no, they're not rested. They know what's up ahead of it. And what's going to separate BYU and what separates the teams in these Power 5 conference is team depth. You look at a team like Kansas, started out great, then injuries come in.
Yeah.
A decimated Oklahoma State last year. BYU absolutely has to have that better depth because that's what separates the big boys from the small boys. And BYU's got to be a big boy, and they got to be a big boy fast. And I think they're making the correct moves. We've seen it with the defensive line. They're going to add bodies to that offensive line, and those are the two most important positions where you need to do that. I'd love to see them bring in a lot more linebackers, to be honest with you. I like the frontline guys. I have a lot of question marks with what's behind them. A lot of young guys that I think in a few years will be promising, but I don't know if this year is the year you want to see guys like Micah Kafusi and Ace Kafusi, who I think will be tremendous players, along with Isaiah Klasker. But this early, I don't know. Just coming off mission service for two of those guys. Get me more linebackers. Also, the defensive backfield could always use some more depth. But coaches are on it. They understand this. It's emotion. And I think what Hill's bringing with his established ties already in the state with the proactivity that a guy like Kelly Papinga brings, and just the excitement going into the Big 12, I think it's going to be attractive to a lot of defensive players. So I think we're going to see some notable additions coming up. But for the product right now, they're looking good. It should be exciting for a lot of BYU fans.
Yes, indeed. Year one, Big 12, a lot of progress being made on the defensive side of the ball this offseason. Got to get more progress and more work done. I chatted with a number of individuals down there on the defensive side of things. And as I mentioned, the defense has not been winning. They have not been up to snuff. They have not performed as well as I would have liked through almost now 2 weeks of spring practice. But today, they looked good. They looked solid. They looked to stymie a good offense that, yeah, maybe they were mixing and matching. Maybe they were getting other guys involved. But the defense still won the day. I was looking at the potential defensive starting lineup with the current defensive roster. And wanted to get your thoughts on this, G-Man. You could look at my screen here. Tyler Batty, defensive end. Jackson Cravens, nose guard. John Nelson, defensive tackle. Isaiah Banyat, OE. Ben Bywater, linebacker. Max Tooley, linebacker. Jacob Robinson, cornerback. Malik Moore, free safety. Micah Harper, strong safety. Eddie Heckard, cornerback.
You need another guy.
Yeah, and I was kind of looking at the you know who's had a really good spring ball thus far is Isaiah Glasker.
Yeah.
He continues to be a individual that coaches are talking about, that coaches like. He runs well. He's been physical. He's been making plays. He's getting his hands on the football. He can run like a gazelle. Like all of the things you're looking for, he's put on weight this offseason, which is a big move for him. So these are some of the things I've been hearing, and he's been getting reps. He's 6'5", 220 right now. 6'5", 220. I'm going to put Isaiah Glasker there at linebacker.
Two guys that I want to hear more about, and I swear we've heard this name forever. He's been an up-and-comer. He's been the athlete. Everyone wants this guy to perform, but it just hasn't worked out. George Udo.
Yeah.
I'd like to see George
Udo
fulfill
George,
a role and become a consistent performer.
I think they may have moved him back to cornerback.
Did they?
Yeah. Look at the roster.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they may have moved him back to cornerback for whatever reason. Maybe they just want to put him at field corner. Hey, lighten up, get his lean and his elastic. My new favorite word.
That's right.
Gurney said, you know what your new favorite word is? He says it's elastic.
It's
You're right. It is elastic.
He loves saying elastic. Okay.
Elasticity.
All right. So there you go with George Udo. My next game. He's a guy that understands football. He just has those intangibles. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very rocky career, to put it mildly, at BYU. But a guy, if his mind's right and if he's healthy, he could help out a lot.
Yeah, and look, this starting lineup is just for spring right now.
Yeah.
I'm specifying spring
I know, but
and
I'm,
health.
I'm intrigued about a piece that could fit in and really help boost what you have right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's an interesting discussion. I like it a lot.
How would you feel about that being your starting defense?
I like it. I like it. It's not a lights out defense. I don't believe, but it's a defense that will suffice and can limit some opponents. I think it's lacking. Well, Max Tooley is going to be tremendous. We know that. Mm-hmm. I think Ben Bywater was one of the more underrated performers from a year ago when he was healthy and flying around and doing all that stuff. He was really, really good. But I really like what I'm seeing from the interior line. I think Jackson Cravens is going to be an enormous addition to this team. Love his prospects. Love everything he's about. Kaden Haas was looking a little trimmed down to me. Just looking at him doing interviews, you could tell that he's really putting some focus to maybe be quicker off the line, maybe one gap, congruent to probably what they're going to be asking him to do. And there's probably going to be a lot more one gapping in this defensive front, what BYU fans have been begging for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kaden Haas could be a breakout performer as well. And I'm telling you, if Atanaiza Mahe's healthy, he's Romney Fungood, man. He's he's solid. Probably even more boost than Rodney.
Yeah.
Burst. is what I meant to say. But if he can stay healthy, knock on wood with that, because he's had a terrible time with injuries. Man, it seems like he's been the program for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But when he's on point, yeah, he's really good. So cross your fingers with this defensive line. They stay healthy. I think they're going to suffice. I think they're going to be a solid group.
All right, we're going to go to break. We're live from Chubby's Cafe in Pleasant Grove. Stop by, say hello, check out the menu. Come eat, drink, and be merry with us. 336 South Main Street, 336 South Main Street in Pleasant Grove. And that is our question of the day, always brought to you by our good friends at Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. And if you have not tried to participate in Underdog Fantasy, we'd advise you to give it a whirl. I mean, I'm doubling your first deposit up to $100 with that promotional code ESPN960. Use your acumen, your sports acumen, to pick a higher or lower stat total, a goal total, whatever it is, your favorite sport, your favorite team. That's where you can actually – some people say, well, you know, you never get involved with the team that you're a fan of. And I beg to differ when it comes to stat totals. That's where it changes. So pick 'em entry, higher, lower stat total. That's where you can make a little money, even 20 times your money at Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. We're going to go to break. Coming up next, let's get into some stats, okay? And then we'll welcome in Kevin Reynolds to the show. We're going to have to go straight to Kevin Reynolds, aren't we? Because we're up against it. We're going to go to Kevin Reynolds on the other side in a Cougar beat. Don't miss it. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.